This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Maybe the live PGA thing is something that is... Oh, okay, let me just rewind for a second here. So you get me, right? The casual golf fan at this point. Again, I used to be into it with Tiger. I mentioned the whole Rocco Media thing. Phil Mickelson, so I was all into that. Mm-hmm. But now you have some drama on a Masters Sunday that draws me, and I'm sure other casual fans, back in. Now, much like I told you with St. John's, right? You got me into St. John's. They come back up. I get into it. Now I have that reference point of last year. Now I'm into the story to develop into next season and see how that plays out. So where does it go from here? And maybe if it were either LIV versus PGA, I could get more into it, or just LIV not being in the equation. But I don't feel like there's something that's going to keep me hooked after getting back into it to a certain extent on Masters Sunday.
I could actually understand that because I kind of feel the same way. I'll probably fight through it just because I think I'm more invested in it than you. I love it more. I played more. Not that I'm good, but I love it. I used to watch. There were points out where I would revolve my weekend around every shot of the Masters. Actually, not even the Masters. Even the Open Championship. Was it 5-hour difference? Whatever it is. You know, getting up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning, yeah, and sitting in there in my apartment in Manhattan, just me.
I used to love that tournament. That was one of my favorites. The British Open?
Yeah. Open the, well, they say, yeah, it's, dude, the, yeah, the, wow, British Open's offensive. It's got to be the Open Championship.
I know it is,
yeah,
the British,
yeah,
Open. Yeah,
exactly.
So.
I hear you. Berksdale, Tiger's moments. I mean, some of those courses, those tracks, it's where the game was invented over there. But I would really, really revolve everything that I did and planned out around every shot, every meaningful shot of golf. I no longer do that, and I will never do that again. I think, to your point, I don't think there's anything that could change that. Because Tiger was such a phenomenon. This comet, usually comets blast through the sky, right, and they're gone. Like, they fizzle out. This was a comet that just kept zigzagging across the universe that got brighter and faster and more explosive by the year. And, you know, once that energy is doused out, you cannot recreate that. You cannot. There's one of those guys.
But fair enough. But there still could be the best golfers in the world. And if there's great competition... I know that,
but
the
you
Tiger
need great personality.
It. Okay.
And Tiger didn't have personality,
right,
but Tiger's
Dustin,
presence.
Even Dustin Johnson, DeChambeau, you talk about some personalities,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I mean, DeChambeau, I liked him better when he was, 35, 40 pounds heavier, looking to crush the ball. Dustin Johnson doesn't play with an ounce of emotion. You know, I wish Brooks Koepka cared a little bit like I thought he used to when he was a raging lunatic.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot
about him.
Remember? I wish Patrick Reed was still, I know he played well in the Masters, but I wish he was still incredibly relevant as relevant as he was back in the day. Like, I don't know. There's just, it's very much a transitional phase. Now, by the way, the NBA went through this after Jordan. If you look at post-Jordan in the NBA, and that's like the, and no disrespect, these guys are great players, but it was not the same, and history bears that out. What the Iversons and the Vince Carters and the Tim Duncans, like, those guys were tremendous. And then eventually Kobe kind of changed things a little bit. But there was a window once Michael stepped away the NBA took a massive step back and it lost that indescribable, that buzz, that aura. And I don't see anybody with aura or buzz out there. I see a lot of guys that get cranked the hell out of the golf ball. Great. That's what they do. They're professionals.
How much of the Live invention, whatever
like
you want to call
fracture?
It. How much does that play a part of it? I'm just looking up Live Golf. I really know nothing about it other than, you know, how it started
and
which golfers go in there. But looking it up, they have some big-name guys, obviously.
They do.
But my point is, I guess, if you had either all those golfers here, that would create better competition, meaning just in PGA.
Yes.
Or if you had a Live versus, I guess there's no way to do it because the four major tournaments, you know, that's the PGA thing, and they're never going to involve Live necessarily head-to-head. But I want competition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for, the best competition. Amongst the competition, you hope to have some personalities as well. But how much of this do you think is Liv's fault once Liv starts?
I think it's a big part of it is their fault, but I don't begrudge them for taking the check. I mean, let's be honest. Jeez.
Did you see Paige Beckers, by the way?
Oh, yeah. She's always. Wait, who?
That's her name, right?
Paige Beckers. Paige Braddock, you mean?
No. The WNBA, the UConn.
Oh, yeah. What about
Paige Beckers? She went to, instead of being the first pick or whatever in the WNBA, she went to play in some three, I don't even know what the hell it's called. Did you guys see this? She took the money, basically, and is going to play for
the three-on-three thing.
Yeah, the three-on-three thing.
I saw that, yeah.
And she's making, in her first year, I think, more than similar to the Live thought process, which is why I bring it up. I can't blame her at all.
Go, girl. Go get it.
Go
like, honestly, like, if somebody was going to pay me an obscene amount of money to work less and have no pressure, who wouldn't sign up for that? So let's not be disingenuous here, but let's also be realistic to understand and honest enough to say that once those guys took the checks and left the PGA, the soul of the PGA died. Sal, imagine taking 30 or, I know it's not quite 30, but like, because it's more baseball players than golfers, but take like 30 or 40 of the absolute best baseball players in Major League Baseball and now put them in a new league. Like, all right, so the Major League Baseball interest dissipates. The new league, you can't possibly have the same enthusiasm for it because there's no history, and we get a lot of our passion from history because that is our mental checkpoint. That's why everything about Tiger, you know, of course, he had the body, he bombed the ball, you know, he had this aura. But one of the great things about Tiger Woods was his ability to chase down the record books, and eventually we thought he would obliterate them. Now, he did not catch Jack with that, and he never will, but he obliterated certain aspects of it. History ties into our ability to love something with great depth. There's no history in Live, and there's never going to be any.
So Paige Beckers can do both, Hoff? You're telling me now?
Because she's still projected to be number one overall in WNBA, but she signed a 3-year deal with a 3-on-3 league called Unrivaled.
So she could play.
Quite the difference. Unrivaled.
So she could play for this 3-on-3 Unrivaled and still be in the WNBA.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, that then makes...
It's a 10-week season for Unrivaled.
They were trying to get, what's her name, Caitlin Clark to go.
Right, and she said no. Well, why not?
I believe so.
Why not go, especially if you could do both? Why would you take the money? So Liv, obviously, you can only participate in the majors, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a part of Liv, go ahead. Is you going to add something there? Yeah. No? Nobody? Okay, let's get back to the phones here. 888. What's the matter? I thought you guys were going to add something there. No?
It's run by WNBA players, he was telling me.
It's run by WNBA players?
Yeah, yeah. Brianna Stewart is a founder of it.
Okay. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. I just saw that she's taking that big contract, and to me, I'm thinking, well, how could you play in two different places? To me, that makes no sense. If you play in the NBA, you can't play in the Big Three, I wouldn't think, although they probably have it. I would assume, same thing with the WNBA, although the WNBA is smartier because you can't prevent Beckers from making her money, and you also want her to be a part of your league because otherwise it would hurt your league. So it is a different thing than with Liv and where the PGA is at. Tom is in Farmingdale. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. I think that when it comes to Rory, judging him on that fourth round is just wrong. It was a masterpiece, and if it were a one-round tournament, Rose would be a five-time winner. He shot 11 under, and that's about as good as it gets lately. Scheffler shot 11 and 10 under. I mean, you go back even like 9 years ago, we had guys winning it at like 5-6 under. There was a 9-under winner. It was a masterpiece.
Okay.
I still wouldn't use that word, but I understand where you're going. Listen, he laid it on a little thick. I just typed in best masterpiece instead of best master scores.
Yeah.
Best masterpiece. But I told you why I think that he did that. There's a personal, emotional investment for Jim Nance to, I don't know if it's to protect the PGA, But he has been in the middle of all this division and this. And by the way, before Liv was COVID, where you had some, you know, I remember watching the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit when that was one of the new events back in the day. That's when DeChambeau snapped on one of the workers in the bunker as an idiot. And like nobody was there. Like, so golf has been hurting for a while. Like, it has not been healthy. It's not just, well, since Liv showed up, before Liv was COVID, which led to down ratings and missed events and a transition for the sport as well.
Yeah, I just don't know how anybody could watch what we all watched yesterday and say that it was a masterful round of golf or a masterpiece. It was not to me. He shot one over. That is, factually, it's just not correct. Winning it, I guess, sure, but based on, he choked it away on 18. Come on, he shouldn't have been to a playoff. He was horrible on right out of the gate on the first hole. So I would, you could look at it any way you want. I respect your opinion. That's fine. He did win it, obviously, but having his worst round of the tournament, fact, having he missed a putt, bogeyed on 18 to force a playoff, fact. I mean, I did not think it was a masterpiece. Matter of fact, I thought that the call was predetermined and was forced into saying he has his masterpiece. It was not meant to be about that final round, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But if you're like me and a casual and getting into it, I did not see a masterful performance or a masterpiece from Rory McIlroy at all.
Not down the stretch, but the big picture, it's more masterful. But listen, I get it. And there's nobody that I don't think you can sell me. You could try. There is no way that Jim Nance did not script that.
You know,
I always believe that you know, and I know a lot of broadcasters, they want to say organic. Yeah, organic, my behind. There's no way when you've got that amount of time and you try to piece together history and you're as aware, especially now. Now, maybe like back in the day, like Vern Lundquist in 1979, I'm just throwing out great, I love Vern. But like with no social media and without his call being shoved down everybody's throat, God forbid you have a lame call. You don't want to get roasted. You know that. And I don't really begrudge the preparation or the lack of spontaneity, but don't make it seem like it wasn't scripted, because I really think that was.
John is on Staten Island. What's up, Johnny?
Johnny.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I have a little bit of a different opinion about yesterday's last round. If you notice, McIlroy hit tremendous shots in the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. 18th holes,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't make a putt. The problem for him is he was putting beautifully, but that's been his weakness forever. And he's been working with Brad Faxton, which has helped him, but he still hasn't overcome the putting woes.
Okay.
When the pressure is on.
Where do we differ?
Well, we differ in the fact that I think it was a masterpiece with the shots that he was hitting, but not on the green.
Yeah, but, John, look up the definition of masterpiece. Other than the green, other than putting. Yeah, it was great. I got news for you. Even I know that putting is a huge part of the golf game. I mean, come on. Yeah, he hit some beautiful shots. Maybe none prettier than the one on 17 to get him on the green in good position there on that hole. Where at that point, it felt like, okay, Rory's going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, stumbled on 18 with the putt. I don't think you could call it a masterpiece if he's hitting great shots leading up to the green, but then butchering the green.
Well, it's I've said this a few times, but it's uncharacteristically masterful, because what he's juggling and what he's overcoming in the moment is a different level of brilliance. He had to cut through a lot of stuff, and he is not a great putter when it matters. He's never been. He pounds the hell out of the ball. He's gotten more creative and more sound and softer hands around the greens, but he's always been, you know, a bomber and a really good ball striker. But I'm just looking something up real quick.
Yep.
This is why I said this like early in the show, and I do think that we are prisoners to this. Like, in the moment, and I get it, I do it too with certain things, we fixate on this and that, and we just make everything out more than it really should be. And then everybody back then was so much, like Reggie Jackson, Reggie Jackson, because he hit the three home runs of the World Series, you know, never hit 230 or 240 or struck out 170 times a year. Like, Reggie was an incredibly flawed player, but because Reggie had this great moment in time, I think a lot of his accomplishments are elevated, right? And I look at this and I say the same thing with golf. Sam Snead is generally, if you know golf, you know the name, generally thought to be one of the purest ball strikers of all time. He won the Masters +1 in 1954, and I promise you that field was not very good. Jack, the best of all time, was -2 and -63. It was -2 and -72. Now, I'm not trying to just bombard you guys with scores from 50 years ago, but I can promise you, without going through the scorecard, because I'm not going to,
yeah,
if you look at somebody, Jack, who shot a -2, I promise you there's a bogey or two or a double bogey in that final round, because if you don't have that, you don't go -2. You go -7, -8, -10, -12.
Yeah, they were also probably using wood clubs at the time. All right, Jason is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
Hey, boys. Good morning. I don't know how anybody could use the word masterpiece. I totally agree with you guys that Nance had that rehearsed. But I want to talk about what I thought was a little bit of a rocky day for CBS. Obviously, Nance's call. But then, guys, he gets the lead back on 17, and everyone's talking like this is Mariano is on the mound.
Yes.
It's over, no shot. And it's like, no, this guy wets himself all the time, and he still has to make par on 18, so let's calm down. And what do you know? He missed a putt that a truly great golfer would hit. I don't care what anybody says. That wasn't the putt that Rose hit. That was way more doable. And then also, guys, I found it incredibly annoying that they were sticking with Rory or sticking with whomever a long time, and you heard the crowd on the other hole, you know, explode, and you're like, oh, somebody just sank a putt or missed an easy one. I thought that was very distracting. And my last thing, guys, they were really putting their eggs in Rory's basket, and as we saw, he barely won.
But hold on. Well, Jay, why do you think? I told you the reason. Because there is an emotional and a financial commitment and investment to somebody like Rory, who is on the PGA Tour still.
But
so they're going to overplay it, even if it's corny or even if it's a bit overdone.
See, Jason saw it and heard it the same way that I did. But you should not. I understand that. I should not, as a viewer, feel a bias toward one particular golfer, especially when it was as close as it is. If he had a 10-stroke lead or a 5-stroke lead even, whatever it is, and he was going away, I could see the buildup, hole 13 through 18, whatever. This was a one-stroke lead, and a guy, to Jason's point, who was historically known as a choker, and he was talking about a playoff there. Even when they went to show Justin Rose warming up on the side, on the range, the way Nance described it was just like, oh, just in case there's a... Not like, hey, there's a good chance
you're
going to be a
player. Yeah.
It was more like an afterthought. That's how they made you feel. So that did rub me the wrong way as a non-biased viewer of competition, not rooting for or against Rory, just trying to follow the drama. I felt like CBS and Nance were forcing Rory down our throat.
They were. It was overly presumptuous. And really, trust me, I mean, they wouldn't let me play at Augusta, let alone announce at Augusta. But the way that should have been presented should have been along the lines of something like this. I'll give you a little fake low golf voice for a moment.
Yeah.
But this is what, like, they should have incorporated this more than they did. As Rory, you know, as Rory grabs the drive, whatever club he's driving, he's grabbing there. And you have to think on some level those demons are flying around in the back of Rory's head, an all-time world-class golf champion. But he has had some memories at this course, which he will now have to stare right in the eyes.
Not bad, BT. And, sounds pretty good.
Right? Yeah, now, like, that's how you present
now let me. Now let me do my version of you doing the call.
Oh, God.
Rory's standing over the hole, and he's going to putt for the Masters. There it goes. How do you do?
And then throw a little screw lib. You know, I throw some other things there, too. How do you? That one rattles around Rory from 10, and it finally goes in.
You actually weren't bad, though, there with your golf voice.
You want to laugh. All right, this is it. My friends always say, like, they think it's so easy, some of the things that we do in our business.
Right.
This goes back years. They're like, dude, why don't you just call golf? I'm like, call golf? Number one, you've been playing with me forever. Call golf? I can't even hit the freaking ball straight. They don't let me in the booth. Like, you've got to have some sort of resume and track record. But, and now this is going to sound...
here we go.
I could do it. Doing some digging on the Jack stuff. I don't.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I don't want to bombard people with stuff from too many years ago, but I thought this was interesting, and my instincts were right. So I went back to the 1972 Masters where he won, and he shot minus two, all right? Now, a couple things jump out. Number one, each round got progressively worse. He shot a 68 on a Thursday, then he shot 71, then he shot 73, then he went 74. And I looked at his back nine. I was actually able to dig up the scorecard from 72. You know, he bogeyed 11, he bogeyed 14, he bogeyed 15, which is the par five, so he got a six. He had no birdies on the back nine, and yet, all these years later, we don't contextualize that round. We just say, that was one of Jack's many major wins. So that's why, like, when we push back and, wasn't
competition must have really sucked.
Well, but it's all relative. No, it's all relative. I don't know that it sucked. It's relative.
But if I were on that, would you just say 79?
72.
Yeah, 72. I mean, if we were on reacting to it in 72, maybe our take would have been, man, that wasn't an impressive round of golf, but he won.
Well, you still had Arnie. You still had some great players that were playing in 1972.
But clearly, BT, if you're performing the way that you just described on that scorecard, yeah, winning the Masters is great. You could also say that you backed into a win.
I don't think you could back into a major. I really don't. I think that there are certain situations, and even backing into really anything, because there's too many things that happen up to that point. You might benefit at the end based on somebody's mistake, but if you don't do all the things required to put yourself in a position to cash in on somebody's mistake, you don't win.
All right, Matt is calling from Great Neck. What's up, Matty?
Matt.
Good morning, guys. So it's a good thing I was on hold for a few minutes. I had to calm down, do some breathing, because Sal, I'm going to lose my mind a little bit, but I'm going to start off with something positive. First of all, BT, I haven't spoke to you in 15 years.
Wow.
Back when you were at the other station, I actually did your theme song for Jody McIntyre.
Hey, Maddie! I still have it. Oh, yeah, that was great. How you doing? You okay?
I'm good, bud. You used to rep my Jets anthem, so
I remember
you forever. Nice. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
Now, and I also appreciate how your humility when talking about golf. I've played sports my whole life. I'm a scratch golfer now. I've won club championships, played in the U.S. Open qualifier. Oof. This is one of the few times where I could literally hear someone's handicap based on their opinion.
Yep.
There, when someone is talking about, well, look how he shot his last day, it tells me immediately they have never actually been in that position before. Because of all the sports I have played at a high level, there is nothing that even comes close to being more difficult than a pressure spot in golf.
You played at the Masters before, Matt? You played at the Masters?
Hey, Sal, have you ever played golf at all?
Yes.
Let's start with that.
Yes. I asked you, well, hold on. I asked you a question.
Comparing a situation where you have pressure on you.
Okay.
Okay.
You've played at the Masters before.
Stop gaslighting, Sal. Let me make my point, and then you could just do whatever you'd like, okay?
Well, why can't you answer a question when I ask it? I'm confused at that. That's part of the conversation. You can't do that.
Are you bald, Sal? Are we
I am bald.
Too.
Do you want to know my weight?
Too. We have one thing in common. Congratulations.
So now I answered your question. Now you answer mine. You said that you could hear.
I've never played the Masters, Sal.
Thank you. That's
Sorry.
It. Very
Only
simple
US
question.
Open qualifiers. Right. Never played the Masters.
Okay.
Now, does that make you feel better?
No. Right. No, it doesn't.
Matt,
what we're doing is. You've won one championship.
Oh, my God, dude. You're like, this is why it's impossible to listen to you sometimes. And I know that's good radio, but, like, you sound like a doofus once in a while.
Right.
And I'm trying to help you right now.
You sound to me like you're talking like you're the pro.
Sal, that's what you think. Listen to me carefully.
Yeah.
How about you listen and close your mouth for like 10 seconds?
Bye, Matt. Thank you for the call. You're calling my show.
Our show.
Here's where I'm the pro. This is where I asked him some simple questions. He couldn't answer them again. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
What?
I don't know. I mean, we're
You have nothing to say? We're getting paid to tell you nothing to say?
I mean, do you want to keep fighting with people?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
He's saying that. Because he played, that his opinion should be more than others. And that, to me, is not accurate.
I don't know that he actually said that.
He did say that.
If he said that, I stay corrected.
I don't know if he said that literally, but it doesn't matter. No, it does
matter.
Because he said he could hear, this is the one conversation he could hear, the handicap when talking about it. And that alludes to that I didn't play at the Masters. Neither did he. And that's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, all right.
So I don't care how many tournaments you think you won, how good you think you are at golf. That doesn't matter
to me.
Well,
he could come here from a different place. I think what he said was he tried to qualify for the U.S. Open, which means he has tried to do something neither one of us could do in our dreams.
Congratulations.
So there could have been a good opinion there. Okay. There could have been a good point. Oh, he didn't get to it.
He didn't want to get to it because he'd rather disrespect me and fight with me.
Okay.
You disagree with that?
I would have liked to have heard what he said.
Yeah, I would have too.
I think it would have been interesting.
Yeah, if he would have just said,
it could have been interesting.
If he would have come on and came with a different.
I got it. Yeah. It's all good. Keep moving.
Matt is in New Britain. What's up, Matt?
What's up, fellas?
Hey,
how
Matt.
You doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to circle back on Nance's call. I know it was premeditated. We all can agree that Rory, you know, played his worst round of the four on Sunday. But I think what Nance is referring to, maybe you guys hit it, sorry. He's referring to the Grand Slam. That's the masterpiece, right?
Yeah, we said that.
Six guys, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, I know it's premeditated, but, I mean, he wasn't referring to Sunday's round as the masterpiece.
No, I think it was in totality the description. I agree. But it's still scripted, which is fine. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, for a person that works in television, you always want to be organic in those situations for play-by-play guys, and I'm sure you feel the same way, BT, but...
Listen, Matt, and thanks for the call, Matt. I think it's different. Like, if you're doing... All right, take the Knicks and the Pistons. Let's say it's a seven-game series. I don't think that, you know, Mike Breen is sitting there saying, if Jalen Brunson hits a dagger with 3 seconds left, I'm going to say this. I think in something like golf where it's more individually driven, there's more pauses, there's more, you know, time. I think you're telling more of a story. I don't know that Mike Breen necessarily tells a story, even though he's amazing, or Ian or any of those great broadcasters, even the great baseball players, broadcasters in this town. They don't really tell the story as much as they're just telling us what's happening. I think somebody like Jim, it's kind of his job to tell the story, because if you don't fill in the gaps with golf, there's really it's just not interesting.
Mark is calling from East Brunswick, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Just a couple of points. To say that there was a lack of competition, I think, is crazy. All the competition was there. Rory was better. And they don't really count how you get to the hole. They count how many. And that's why they play four rounds. It's a four-round competition. And Rose hit a phenomenal shot into the green on the playoff hole, and it looked like he was going to win. And Rory bettered him and won. And what Rory did to hold it together to win is a remarkable performance, no matter how you look at it. And if you watch the Masters, you know no lead is safe. And if you thought that he was going to win going away, you knew that was how it was going to end. And I thought it was just a phenomenal day of golf, and I thought the tournament had just all these crazy swings with him coming back into it to win the Grand Slam, which only five other golfers have done. And to take anything away from the guy, I think, is just short-sighted.
Well, and Mark, think about this. Of the other guys, how many of us have even seen the other players take a swing outside of something that's, 30, 40, 50 years old? I mean, outside of Tiger. I mean, I can tell you that Jack won at 86 at the age of, I think it was 46 at the Masters. I wasn't watching it. I thought golf was awful back then. I had zero interest, And obviously, Sarazen is a name, and obviously Jack. Outside of Tiger, the other ones are just snapshots in history. So it's a massive accomplishment. It was, I don't know if it sucked in the average fan, and that's kind of what we're going back and forth on. But Rory, to me, he's almost more of a, he's more representative of a golfer almost than anybody else because of his implosions, because of his story. And listen, Tiger had moments where he collapsed as well or just didn't play as well. And I just gave you Jack's final round back in 72. I'm sure you could pour through every other aspect of history and find moments where guys didn't play particularly well. But I don't know. I think that there's a appeal in getting off the mat and showing resolve. So, yeah, would it have been great to flush one, and stick it to a foot and just tap it in? And, yeah, probably would have been. But this was a different kind of entertainment. It was good.
Or make the putt on 18. Chris is calling from Cranford. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, Sal, you're right. It wasn't a masterful round of golf yesterday by Rory. But that guy had the pressure, and I think this is what your previous caller was trying to say, had the pressure of the sporting world on him yesterday. And it's like a heavyweight boxing match. He took it on the chin. He took it on the chin. He landed big punches. But at the end of the day, it's great. It's an all-time great because he got it done. And a lot of guys, like Aaron Judge, they don't get it done. So 100% great day yesterday, great Masters tournament. Rory is one of the best players that have ever played that game.
Well, that's interesting, awesome. And you don't need to take a shot at Aaron Judge. And by the way, more on Aaron Judge when we come back. We'll take a quick break and get to that. 888-808-1019. See, I don't look at Rory, and again, I don't pretend to be a golf expert, and I certainly have never played at the Masters, and I'm not an amateur or anything like that, playing in any of these kind of tournaments, but I don't look at Rory as being on the same level as Tiger Woods, and he's the first to accomplish this feat.
He's not even close to Tiger's level.
Oh, okay, no. But he's the first to accomplish this feat in 25 years since Tiger last did it, so... But I don't look at it as some kind of... Now, again, I don't know if it's because of a lack of competition, whether it's DeChambeau choking it away, whether it is just the overall state of the sport with Liv being involved. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't feel like it was, wow, Rory went out there and toe-to-toe and beat somebody else, or Rory dominated the course. He won, sure, and he hit some big shots. I saw them. I get it. He beat Rose head-to-head face-to-face on that playoff hole. He had one better playoff hole. I don't think it was the best. I don't think it wasn't his best round of the tournament, let alone a great round of golf. Man, he won, so it doesn't matter. But for me, I would have liked to have seen a more impressive final round.
You want a splash here? Like we tuned in. I think many of us. I think you watched it. The Tyson Paul fight. Remember that? Did you watch that? I don't even remember if you watched.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did watch.
And that. We were just so grossly disappointed. We happened to be up late. We're like, yeah, let's watch it. Now you're hoping for like that one moment where you recapture, one thunderous jolt from Tyson's hands, and it didn't come. And, you watch it, you wait for that amazing moment, and, you wait for an amazing moment with Rory, but sometimes you don't really get it to your point. Sometimes the amazing moments are the understated nature of navigating, as I said earlier, the mind and some demons. So I think when you put it in that context, I think it was absolutely awesome. Was it, slaying the field and bringing the course to its knees? No, it definitely was not. But it was a different kind of awesome. So, and Rory's likable, so that adds to it.
A news note on Aaron Judge when we come back. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Captain America has been named. It will be Aaron Judge for Team USA leading the way in the 2026 World Baseball Classic.
I saw it. You know, listen, and it's not going to happen because the frequency and him being his age and how much more prime baseball he has, he's not going to turn into like Melo with the Olympics. Like Melo tried to almost turn his Olympics and fill his lack of championships. And I know you remember this with his Olympic prowess.
Right.
Now I know Judge is not doing that. What does this mean to me? It means very little. I mean, honestly, like I love Judge. He is an amazing ambassador for the city, for young kids, for baseball, you name it. Check, 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 check. Great guy. All right. The captain of the WBC Team USA.
Here's what it would mean to me. Like, I think it's a great honor for him, sure. And am I more intrigued to watch the Worthless Baseball Classic now? Maybe. But if I am a Yankee fan or somebody who cares about the Yankees season in any way, shape, or form, and I do, I'm thinking one thing. He can't get hurt. The Mets season got ruined a couple years ago because Edwin Diaz got hurt in this World Baseball Classic. And I would just... I understand why it could be a good event to some. The risk of getting hurt and ruining what really matters. You've got players saying, this is a quote, players saying that the World Baseball Classic means more to them than the World Series. I think when you have that, much like the four nations tournament that we had, I think when you have that, you have a problem.
Well, should the Yankees intervene? Because we've seen, right? They didn't let Severino go. The Yankees have intervened before. They'll never do that to Aaron Judge.
I'm sure they probably already had these discussions.
Well, yeah, it's not like he just blindly, this press release blindly popped up. The Yankees are like, wow, oh, Judge is doing this. Oh, my God. No, that's not it. But I don't know. I mean, I guess the injury to Diaz was freak. But, I mean, it's the more you're active and the more you ramp up, probably earlier than you. That's the key. Like, to get ready for the WBC, you've got to amp up almost unnaturally because of when it occurs.
Right.
And, you know, just think about the normal calendar for a Major League Baseball player. You know, you get there in February, you take some sweat, maybe January, get on the backfields, shake some balls, get some running, do some stretching, kind of ease into it where, and then you can kind of ease into games, get in a bat here, get two at bats here, incrementally build yourself up to the start of the season. He's going to be in his mid-30s when this is going down. My first reaction, honestly, was not injury, and I'm not going to just latch onto it now because I'm not terrified about it. But if it's that big of a concern, which I could see why it could be for some, then maybe the Yankees should intervene so you can't do it.
I would be saying the same thing if it were Soto, if I'm the Mets, and he's going to want to participate. I'm sure he's getting Lindor, all these players. I just have a hard time. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to get hurt. Odds are maybe they don't get hurt. But as somebody who experienced it in the worst way possible, it is an otherwise, as it pertains to Major League Baseball, which I would assume the majority of us value most, as it pertains to Major League Baseball, the World Baseball Classic means nothing. That's why I call it the Worthless Baseball Classic. I get people like it, but as it pertains to Major League Baseball, it means nothing. And to have players that you're paying hundreds of millions of dollars participate at a high level without the ramp up necessarily right out of the gate and going harder maybe in those games than they do in a regular season game, I take major issue with that.
The thing is, there's no way to do this properly. If you do it right at the end of the season, well, now you say after the World Series, like immediately following the World Series, now you're starting to get to a point where, whether it's from an innings perspective or just an unnatural taxing of the body, you know, you run the risk of injury at that point. If you do it too prematurely, which I think that they do, well, you know, now you run the risk of guys getting hurt because they unnaturally ramp themselves up to prepare at a very high level. Let's face it. You get in at bat in a Grapefruit League or a Cactus game, Sal, on a Tuesday, you know, you're 32, 33, like a Judge or somebody like a Mike Trout. You're not going to play the next day necessarily. You get one at bat to see some pitch. You go on the stationary bike. You go home. The WBC, you try to beat other countries. When you try to beat other countries, you're doing it with an energy and a respect and a pride and a forcefulness that is not necessarily natural. So you can't do it at the end. You can't really, you shouldn't really do it at the beginning. And if you interrupt the season, I hate that. Because when you interrupt the season, to me, now you are beginning to usurp what is most important, the actual season.
Right, but what happens if one of the star players... Would you ever forgive the WBC if Judge got hurt, God forbid, for the season? Pick a player. It doesn't have to be him if you want to jinx it. Well, whoever.
I know. I mean, listen, your reaction with Diaz as a Mets fan.
Coming off a year where, you know, they won 101 games, supposed to be building.
It was warranted. I get it. Now, I mine is more like, you know, thoughts or theories or how would I feel or just a general thought on baseball players or any athlete getting ready unnaturally, as I've said a few times here. So it's not personalized for me. It's more a concept that doesn't, has
for
yet,
now,
knock
exactly,
on wood, to
right.
impact me.
Right.
I mean, you tell me Judge runs into a wall and gets hurt like he did against the Dodgers, that's different than maybe him throwing out his shoulder because he's trying to, you know, gun somebody down when he's not ready. I'm sure my reaction wouldn't be measured. Put it that way.
And by the way, Diaz hasn't been the same since.
No, he hasn't really been
now,
the same. You're right.
That's one extreme example, but it's the only thing. I mean, I hate to say, I really don't care if USA Baseball wins. I care more if the Yankees win. I care more if the Mets win. So I can't get into the World Baseball Classic as far as caring about it, certainly not in comparison to what we grew up rooting for here. However, the players are more into it. Players love it. There are some fans who do value it. So it's going to be a bigger and better thing. Judge now being the front and center, the face of Team USA is going to be a bigger deal. I can't help but think, I just want to make sure you get through this thing unscathed.
I'd rather have, you know, 20 or 25 of the best college kids out there against Cuba
Why can't we do it that way?
I don't know. I mean, really, it stopped because when we used to do that, Bobby Knight used to coach the Olympic team, I believe twice, certainly once, but in 84, I think he did it before that, but I'm not 100% sure. But he coached Mullen, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, all those guys were on the 84 team. Bunch of beasts. And then we went in 88. Sal, as still with a bunch of amateurs, and I believe that that's when we lost, and we're like, whoa, we're not going against the world with, you know, not even grown man strength here. So now we unleash and we introduce the 92 Dream Team, and now it's our mission to obliterate the world into a bloody pulp, which most times we do, not every time. So I think it's really just we don't want to concede, you know, by sending younger players. That's where it's all derived from.
BT, it's Sal on the Fan. Back to the Masters from yesterday, BT. Kevin is calling from Bernardsville. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Kev?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, bud. What's going on?
Can you hear me?
We got you.
So I just want to talk to Sal a little bit because I truly believe, and this is my first time call. I've been listening to fans since IMUS, right? So... but first time I've ever called in, the Masters was a life lesson more than anything else that I've ever seen. How someone gets knocked down and back up. It was a real life Rocky, right? The guy makes a mistake right out of the hole, goes down, comes back, goes down again, comes back. Like literally it was the best Masters I've watched. I'm born in 62 and I've watched a ton. Right. So when you're thinking about what's going on at this Masters, it was the most riveting television, real life that I've ever seen of a guy just picking his butt back up. Right. And getting back into
Kev, hold on. So, I know you're talking to Sal, but think about this, because one of the things we've hit here is somebody like you. You're going to maybe process it that way. I think what Sal was saying earlier is like, if you're just popping in and you got things to do on a Sunday and you don't necessarily have an emotional connection or for some maybe a full knowledge of some of, you know, Rory's implosions, I don't think that that person sitting there consuming the event like you did, which is a deep, deep, real life appreciation, you're lucky. But I think you're among the minority in terms of processing it that way.
Okay. I could agree with that and see it that way. But... just like, you know, and yeah, did Nance overdo it? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, you have this amazing, you know, like, oh my God, you know, I played hockey at a very, very high level. And I don't know if I would have the fortitude to come back after, you know, throwing it in the creek, right? So you're like, this dude just bad mistake. Who wins the Masters with four doubles, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's
picks himself up.
I guess that's kind of the point, Kevin, and thank you for the call. Whereas you're right, BT, maybe if I were, and I know the story of Rory, obviously, but I'm not invested in it tournament in, tournament out, year in, year out. I can't remember the last time I watched a Masters with this much interest.
Probably when Tiger won.
I mean,
the last time Tiger won,
More recently than that, because I would have it on, especially if it were good. What'd they say, the last time I went down to a playoff was 8 years, so maybe that was it. I don't recall, but this one I was really into. It's been at least 5, maybe even 10 years, mm-hmm. so it's been a long time for me. So I get that maybe if you were following along with the Rory story more closely than I am, that it maybe meant more. But I'm just saying from a, you parachute in, you want to watch a singular great sporting event, to see a guy culminate a tremendous week or, you know, have the powerful weekend to solidify his Masters and Grand Slam, I did not get that type of performance. And I did feel like it was being, I know it was the main story, but I felt like it was being forced upon me, as opposed to Rory really dominating and earning that type of, I don't know, justifying all the talk.
Now, let me ask you this though, real fast. I know we got a break. So, like, let's say Rory does come down and goes birdie, birdie, and he's just stuffing pins and he's tapping in and he wins in the way that would have been more appealing, I think, to a lot of people. Would that have propelled you to now tune in more, have more of a connection to Rory? Would you be more compelled to follow his story because you saw what you said you would rather see?
Well, I almost feel like now his story is complete anyway, right? The story is complete because what's there to chase? I mean, another major, sure, but once you win the Grand Slam, that's it. He proved now that he can win the green jacket. There is no more, you know,
Ryder Cup stuff, if you like the Ryder Cup. But I actually hear what you're saying on that. Like, what do you really do at this point outside of just tack on a few more wins that don't change? There's no titles.
This was the
to
one,
the wins here.
No. What would draw me in is somebody going to knock him down for his crown, or somebody, the next guy that's going to try to complete the Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm. Or if he wins the U.S. Open, now it's back to back, and now you're like, okay, can he maybe go three in a row and start stretching things out? I get it. You know, it was good. I think in certain spots, it was amazing. In certain spots, it was lackluster. You had a little bit of everything, no doubt.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.